love is more than just words. And for this message tonight, I chose a metaphor that Jesus Christ himself chose. From Matthew 5:13, Jesus Christ says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." You are the salt of the earth. And being a history teacher, I know that salt has been used throughout history for many things. And one of the things that salt was used to, and by the way, in some places, like in sub-Saharan Africa, salt was more precious, more valuable than gold. One thing, it was salt as a preservative. Salt was rubbed into meat, was rubbed into fish in order to prolong the life of that meat, in order to slow down the decay. Salt preserved food. It kept food edible. In the same way, we are called to preserve this world from the moral decay that we are witnessing in our days. If you remember when God was planning on destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham was negotiating with God, he said, "What if you find 50 righteous people in Sodom? Are you still going to destroy the righteous with the unrighteous?" And God said, "No, if I find 50, I will not destroy it." And Abraham went lower and lower and lower until he got to 10. And he said, "If you find 10 righteous people, are you going to destroy Sodom?" And God said, "No, I will not destroy it." So in order to preserve this world that's, you know, in a moral decay, we're called to be salt. We're called to love our neighbor, to preserve their lives. I will use an example of from one of my friends in Romania. He told me the story of his conversion, how he became a Christian. And he said before he ever set foot in church, the first thing he did was he went to play soccer with some guys from church. And while playing soccer, he was surprised that there was no cussing, there was no fighting, and everybody got along, even though they were on opposing teams. And he said, "That opened that wish in my heart. I need to go to church." And once the door was open, God took it from there. All because those people, those Christians, chose to preserve the life. And when they play soccer, they chose not to cuss. They chose not to fight. They play like Christians. Another example was from here in the States. I went to a wedding, and I have to, you know, I have to say it was the most fun wedding I ever been to. Even the guy who was filming that wedding said, "You know, I never saw people having this much fun at a dry wedding, at a wedding where no alcohol was served. How come you guys can have so much fun?" And somebody explained, "We have God, we have Christ, and that's enough. We can have clean fun without alcohol. We don't need alcohol to have fun." And that's our calling. We're not just called to preserve this world from moral decay, we're also called to preserve life here on earth. And I will use two examples from my career as a teacher, and I know I think I used this before. One was in 2008. I was 1 foot out the door from that district I was working in. I remember they called me for an interview for a job here in Orange County, like half an hour before I was supposed to get on a plane to go to Romania. And I got mad at God and I said, "God, how can you do this to me? You know, I really wanted that job. And now, you know, they had about 3 months to call me for an interview. Now you have them call me for an interview when I'm leaving for Romania." And I stayed in my job at Benning High School. And that year, one of my students who was so troubled that was always hanging around my desk and was checking out one of the notebooks I had for hotlines, suicide hotline. And I noticed she kept on checking it day after day after day. And finally, I said, at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, I said, "Do you need help?" And she said, "Yes, I do." I arranged for help, and I didn't know at the moment what was going on with her, but later on, at the end of the year, when she wrote a thank you note, she said, "Thank you, Mr. Indris, for caring for me. Because of you, I stopped cutting myself." She was one of those students who were cutting themselves in order to numb the pain they were feeling inside. And I kept on thinking, what if I had gotten that job in Orange County? What if I had gotten that job with Anaheim Unified? That student might not be alive. We're called to preserve life. Last year, I told you about the student who came and threw a bag of pills on my desk. It was before school started and said, "Indris, do whatever you want with them. I don't want to do anything stupid." And when I took them to the office, when you know she got the help she needed, we researched those pills. They were antidepressants, and she had a bag full of them. We're called to preserve life. Do you want to love your neighbor? Be salt. Preserve their life. Second thing, salt is seasoning. We all know the Romanian story of Sarean Bucate. Câte mult mă iubești, cât Sarean Bucate. We know there's no food without salt. Not even cakes, not even the good savarine my mom makes. She puts salt in those too. Salt as seasoning gives taste, flavors our lives. We're called to give flavor to this world that has no flavor. We're called to be seasoning for the people around us. As you know, I teach in a very low socioeconomic district. About 80% of our kids are on free and reduced lunch. And one of my students was a senior in high school, and I asked, you know, what's next? Are you going to college? And I knew she wanted to become a chef. And she said, "I cannot do it next year. Maybe I cannot do it for the next 2 years. I have to work full time, save some money, buy a car, and then I will go to college." And one Friday night in February, I was driving with my youngest brother. He was 20 at the time. We were driving to LA to pick our sister from school. And I was sharing this with him. We were talking about how blessed we were. We came to United States in 96. And by 2011, all of us were doing pretty well. And I said, you know, God blessed us so much that we don't know how to thank him. Look at the people around us. And I told him the story about that student of mine. And then he did something that surprised me. I never expected him to do. Remember, he was 20. And he said, "Chipri, that student of yours doesn't have to postpone college. She will have a car when she graduates in June." And it floored me. I don't know how to reply. This girl was just with her mom. Her dad abandoned her when she was 8. Her stepdad was in and out of jail, so she didn't have anybody in her life. Her life was pretty messed up. And that day, that June 15 or 16, graduation day, she got a car. And I thank God that somebody was there to add some flavor to her life. After that, she wrote me a letter, a thank you note, and asked me, "What do you see in me? Why are you doing this?" And I replied, I wrote her back and I said, "I see you as God's creation. You were created in his image." And she called me father figure, she called me older brother, she called me an angel. But she was just that. Created in the image of God. I had boys come and talk to me about their conflicts with their dads. Said one of them was kicked out of the house. And when he told me this, I was actually thinking, I can see why, but I never said it. because they were two of the most rebellious students I had. But they chose to come and talk to me because they wanted some flavor in their life. And that's why God put me there. That's why after 10 years, the last 10 years, I kept on trying to get out of there. Okay, when every summer I apply for another job and another job. But God said, no, you stay there. Those people, those students need some flavor in their life. And you're going to be my flavor. And then, salt as a fertilizer. Back in the day, salt was used in small portions, small measures, was used to help crops grow. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to help others grow. And the day after my students found out that that girl was receiving a card from my brother, I decided to use that as a life lesson. I usually give life lessons to my students because teaching social studies, that allows me to do that. I can talk about character, I can talk about values, without saying that I'm trying to preach to them. But that day, I chose to give them a life lesson. And I started with the ending of the movie Schindler's List. At the end there, Schindler receives the ring from the Jews he saved, from the over 1,000 Jews he saved during the Holocaust. And on that ring, it's inscripted, whoever saves one life saves the world entire. And I used that as my starting point. And I told my students, how do you know that the person you save, the life you save, will not discover the cure for cancer in the next 20 years? How do you know that? How do you know that the person that you save will not become the president of the United States of America? Because whoever saves one life saves the world entire. And how do you do that? You invest in them. You invest your time in them. And I gave them the examples from our families, from Christian families who invest time in their children. And I said, that's what you need to do. That lesson, I think that's the only time I cried in front of my students. And most of the girls had to go and reapply makeup after that. But after that, I told them, Mr. Indris doesn't cry. You know that. That just happened. But you invest time. And one of my students came a few weeks later and said, Indris, I did what you said to do. I have a little sister. She's playing baseball. Nobody's going to her games. Nobody in our families. We don't care. They don't care that she's playing baseball. But I did what you said, and I made a little sign, and I went and cheered for her. I could see on her face that she was very proud of what she was doing for her sister. She was helping her sister grow. She was investing in her sister. And I'm sure nobody had told her that before. But that's why God put me there, to be salt. And in conclusion, I want you to think, how can salt do all those things? Preserve life? How can salt be a flavor? How can salt be a fertilizer unless it dissolves, unless it stops being salt? It dissolves and becomes one with whatever. And that's what love is. You're here to be salt. You're here to love those around you by pouring yourself into their lives, by changing their lives, by preserving their lives, by giving flavor to their lives. And my challenge to you is the same challenge I gave to my students a couple of months ago. I found out of a project called Charity Water, charitywater.org. These people, what they do, they decide that they're going to give up their birthdays to make sure water gets to Africa. And how they do that, people, instead of receiving gifts for their birthdays, they set up this website where all the money that they were supposed to get with gifts, all those money goes goes to, all that money goes to Africa, where they're going to drill for fountain, for fontaine, for people to have access to water. But why wait until your birthday? Christmas is coming up. Why not give up your Christmas gifts? Why not, instead of spending hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars on things that we don't need? Most of us don't need those Christmas gifts. We just want them. And maybe until next Christmas, we even forget what we got. And if we get the same thing, we'll never remember that we're still getting the same thing. How about taking those money and buying a laptop for a student who's going to go to college and cannot afford that? How about giving up those gifts and buying food for somebody who's starving? We live in the most prosperous nation in the world, but we have people starving. We have people freezing. And it's not because of the economy, it's not because of the government, it's not government's job to provide welfare for those people. It's our job, because God expects us to take care of the poor. God expects us to take care of the widows. God expects us to take care of the orphans. Not the government, us, the church. Think about if our church, if all the Christians, the people who call themselves Christians, would actually invest in people, would actually use their money for something good, to feed the homeless, to clothe the homeless, I don't think we would have the same problem. And my challenge for you tonight is, are you going to be salt? Are you going to give flavor to somebody's life? Are you going to preserve their life? There's going to be, when I hear on the radio driving to work, testimonies for people who were homeless and went to the different missions to get fed. Mastrapunje. When I hear people talk about hunger, when most of us never experience hunger, we're salt. We're called to love. Are you loving your neighbor as God loved us? Because that's what John said in 1 John 3:16 through 19. Do not love them with your words. Love them with your possessions. Love them with your actions. Are you salt? And my challenge for you tonight, as you go home, as you prepare for this Christmas, love your neighbor. As you prepare for, I don't know, New Year's party, and you're looking for who to invite, instead of inviting who's who or somebody who's going to reciprocate in the future, invite somebody who nobody invites. Invite somebody who doesn't have anywhere to go this New Year's. Make a difference. Flavor their life. May God help us all. Amen.